Tuesday the 20th of May, Lamed LaOmer, Rav Dudi Rosenberg, A Question of Paradise.
The Pasha opens with a condition. Im b'chikoisai t'elaychi v'nusati gishmechem b'ita. Eat. If you will follow and perform my mitzvahs, you will receive the bounty listed hereafter. So that's it. We daven three times a day. We put on tefillin daily. We eat kosher. Daven with minyan. So that we should merit what? A new fully loaded Lexus, or a villa in the Caribbean with a private pool? But that's what the Torah is promising us. It seems to be that all the Torah is saying is Kashmir. And that's the title of today's Shia, Question of Paradise. What about Gan Eden? What about Olam Habu, eternity? Discussed so often in Chazal, yet not a mention of it in the Torah. Yufu shu achat shel koiras riach po Olam Habu mikol chai Olam Hazeh. The question is posed by the Rambam, the Ibn Ezra, the Rabbi Nebuchai, the Ram, the Sadi Guren, the Seifu Ikrim, and of course Rav Shakush. The Kli Yukar outlines them briefly, giving their independent answers, but let us clarify. The question takes two parts. A. Why is Gan Eden not mentioned? And B. Why is the reward which is mentioned Kashmir? Answer number one is the Rambam. He says the purpose of all earthly rewards, rain, crops, timely harvest, all this and security are hasuras hamoinim, the removal of impediments on the road to spirituality. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, you do it right and I will help you get there. Consequently, Gan Eden is omitted to help you achieve your goals d'shmo. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I'll give you the wherewithal. You came down on this world for a purpose. Here you are. Everything that you need. Just perform Torah mitzvahs and master service. The Mushlemu Adu V'Doyme is the salesman sent out by a company. He's got to travel, produce sales. He gets a credit card for expenses. So they say to him, fine, take a nice hotel. Go to whatever restaurant you need in order to eat, rent yourself a beautiful car, but create the sales. He comes back, so he's got the expense account, but he hasn't produced the sales. We come down on this world, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, you come here for purposes, I give you an expense account. But after 120 years, when the journey is over, the business trip, let's see if you produce the sales. Then the mitzvahs and the master service. The second answer is the Ibn Ezra. The Brucha was on the same question. All of them. It's all written down in the Kli Yukar. He lists them, but I'm elaborating a little bit along the same thing. The Klal Yisrael were the Brucha which was given to them was given as a multitude, and they were not related to an individual. And if you're speaking to an Olam, you're speaking to a Klal. How can you possibly explain Hasugas in Olam Habu to a Klal? Are you going to describe the loftiness of Gan Eden to someone whose pleasures are limited to a rib steak and chips? So the Ibn Ezra says, the Torah says, leave well alone. Speak about the Nusati Gishmaichem Be'ito. To illustrate this answer of the Ibn Ezra, I just wanted to mention a brief story about the Ba'emaim Chaim. Rav Chaim of Chernovitz, who was a Talmud of Rav Mechala of Zlotchov. And he went to the marketplace because he wanted to find someone who could finance Pidyon Shviim, which was at that time very pressing. And there was a fellow there who was known as Rav Yanki the Less, because he used to scoff at everything that was with a joke, everything was with a sense of humor, he was a cynic. And when he came to the market, he found Rabbi Yanki there, and he asked him, would you like to join the mitzvah? Rabbi Yanki said, you know what, how much is involved, Rabbi? He told him it was a formidable amount of money, and he said, okay, fine, I'm in. So the Ba'emaim Chaim said to him, you financing? He said, yes. He said, so let me give you a brucha. He was a less. He said, Rabbi, what can't you give me? So he said to him, Kinder, aber forscher. I'm a wealthy man. My children have got Roshan Parusa rival. Gazin, I could run the marathon, no problem. So what are you going to offer me? So the Imam Khan said to him, I'll give you a brucha that you should have a time in Shabbos just like me. So he laughed. No, a time in Shabbos. Monday went, Tuesday went, comes Wednesday lunchtime. Our time will the Rabbi Yankel have two and have some today in Shabbos, because he gets all excited. Comes at night time, he comes home, he says to his wife, guy called Shabbos. She looks at him strangely. Thursday morning he gets up at the crack of dawn, he runs to the market, he starts to get meat and vegetables and buys things, a good Shabbos and fish. He comes home, he speaks to his relatives and he says, sky Shabbos without cooking. And she says to me, are you sure you're okay? And as the day wears on, he's not going to work, and she's really worried because he's spending the day cleaning the house and doing. By the time the evening came, she was seriously worried because he was starting to be up in the night and he can't sleep. It's Shabbos Kodesh, and Friday morning he gets up, he left to the mikveh. Yank in the left. Lunchtime he was already in shul. And he's saying Shira Shira, so he had difficulty with the words. The children were laughing at him. He was a laughing stock of the town. Came Friday night, he came to the Kodesh and they touched the hands and the shrat and the thumb. And the people think this is Yankee, something's wrong, the guy is going through a rough patch. And then at night, when he came home, so he starts to sing Zviras, he starts to sing Kuepsoif, and his wife looks at him and she's considering taking him to a doctor, and instead of going to sleep as he would normally do through a 10-hour baggy, then the guy is up a whole night and he's up till him. Comes in the morning, comes to Nishmas, and Mamash Klaus Hanashum. Same thing goes on, Kailuden, and then afterwards by Rabbi, the Rabbi comes to Shalashidas and he says the Nafshi Cholis Abaseichu, tears streaming down his face, the people looking around him saying, what's going on with this guy? Finally, Moshe Shabbos, he looked like a car where all four tires had been punctured and all deflated suddenly. By Ordu Nefes. And then his wife, Boshem, Yankish and Zrik Mamal, he's starting to crack jokes again. And he's the same scoff and the same letter as before. Finally, he says, okay, fine, everything was wonderful, but the trouble was the next Wednesday stopped all over again. And he comes Wednesday, and that's Shvatah to get in Shabbos. And she says, let's not go to the specialist, let's go to the roof. The one that gave you this brucha, we'll go to the Bayim Haim Chaim. They went back to the Bayim Haim Chaim, and the Bayim Haim Chaim said to them, it's a wonderful brucha, but you have to be the recipient for it. So let me start to learn with you. We'll make a shiur together. I will start to explain to you what Shabbos really is, so that when you have this experience, you should know what a blessing it is. The reason I'm saying it is to tie up the Ibn Ezra speaking about Hasidus and Olam Habu. So who are we speaking? It's got to be somebody that has at least an idea, an intuition of what Gan Eden and Olam Habu is. So therefore, the Torah has little purpose in explaining that in a public forum. The third answer is given by Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar and the Ramban. They say it's a normal and a natural phenomenon for an Neshuma, which is a Chaylik Elikam Yimal, that the Neshuma should return to its source. After 120 years, that Neshuma which was sent down for Tachlis, it returns, like a boomerang almost. But it's unnatural for a Neshuma to be cut off, and that's why the most severe and the most drastic punishment that one can imagine is the missing of Kuvus. Because Kuvus means that the Rebbe Shlom says, I'm severing the ties, I don't want you back, you've disgraced me, and so therefore that the Shuma is said to be cut off, so to speak. That is the unnatural. The normal is that the Shuma comes down for a period of a lifetime and then eventually reunites with its source, comes back to the Shechinah. The normal doesn't require mentioning in the Torah, because it's a mitzvah that she does. What does require is that the Rebbein Shalom says to you, in b'chikoyfei teleichi v'nusati gishmeichem v'itom, is a much bigger chiddush, almost like a press button. You do it right, you learn kai mitzvah, you'll see that the Torah will give you and the Rebbe Shalom will give you the bruchas which you expect in order to perform them. And if not, So that is a much greater chiddush than saying that you're going to have a neshuma which is going to go down and come back again. That's what we say. The kind neshuma shenasat would be afdrusa, but usid lahazdura. It comes back as a normal phenomenon. That is the answer of the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar and the Rambam. The next test is the fourth test by the Kuzari. I touched it as seeing is believing, because that period of history was it's not much different today, a cynical and a very skeptical world. The philosophy of that time was everything in this world is an automatic pilot. You get up in the morning, the sun rises, at the end of the day the sun sets, the birds chirp, the trees are full of leaves, the sky is blue. Sons of a push it. That's nature. Nature. We believe the Ashkocha Perut is that in every single little blade of grass that grows from the floor has got a malach which looks after it. The Ashkocha Perut is in every single molecule of the world. Completely contrary to the denial of that period. If the promise which the Torah would give for Shmiras HaMitzvahs was Gan Eden, then the skeptics would obviously say, and who is going to verify what's going to happen to you after 120 years? Somebody's going to go down 6 foot under the ground to check what happens? And who's going to go up to the sky to see what happens to a person after 120 years? Gan Eden? Prove it. So the Torah speaks about a tangible currency. The Torah speaks about something that people of that time understood. And today it's the same. You keep mitzvahs. And if you do the opposite, just watch the curses come. Then it's a simple equation. That's the answer of the Kuzari. And in fact, there is a proof to substantiate this. Because if we go through the annals of history, we'll see that there were periods of utopia which Klal Yisrael enjoyed and benefited from, the times of Shloimeh HaMelech, where years went by when Klal Yisrael did the Rutzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Pusik is made, Ish Tachas Gafnoi Ve'ish Tachas Ta'im. The times of Chizkiyu HaMelech, Klal Yisrael were up to scratch, and there it says in the Schrift of the righteousness and the punctiliousness of the Kiyum HaMitzvahs, they had a period of tranquility which took them through trouble-free periods of Jewish history. And if we go even earlier, we look at Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua waged the war against Ai, and there were casualties. Boy, casualties. He recognized immediately, if somebody fell in war, there must be a reason for it. Somebody must have done an iniquity, somebody must have done an avira. He investigated, and Uchan was the culprit. It was true. It was very clear, black and white. The next teret is given by Rav Sadia Gurin. Rav Sadia Gurin says that era of time were all Oved Avodah Zarah, and they didn't serve Avodah Zarah because they were looking for spirituality. They served Avodah Zarah because they had ulterior motives. They believed that those gods and those deities would bring them panusa, children, success, good health. And we had this in the time of the Greeks as well. They even had names for them. Apollo was the god of the sun. Demeter was the goddess of harvest. Poseidon was the god of water and the sea. And if you got on the right side of these deities, then things would be fine for you. They look after you in this world. Comes the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, "And that's the Eretz Yisrael. Lo yeh lechu Elohim achayrim al purnai. Metun eshdin and avoid zura. Avoid zura is something which is forbidden. So where will I get panusa from? Where will I have children from? Who will look after me?" The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "It refsad yibuah. In bechikoy zayt alaychi, v'nusati gishmeichem be'itom. I'm telling it to you. Don't worry." Everything is down to me anyway. I look after all those things for you. Just do it right. But if you serve those avoiders of us, I promise you that the reverse will come true. In the Chikoisaiti Musi, and all the clueless will come. So Avoid Azura, Oilam Azeh, is the going currency of that time. Gan Eden wasn't the currency. Even the service which they did to their Avoid Azura was also to achieve the bounty of this world. And therefore the Rabbein Shloim said, Michikoise Teleichi, and the Sati Gishmeichem Be'itam. The sixth answer is the answer of the Ram. The Ram says that the Pusik brings down the Hisalachti Besuchachem. This is a reality in this world. And he's saying that there is Getlichkeit, spirituality and godliness for Olam Hazeh. And he gives an example. The Rebbein Shloim sent Nevi'im. Nevi'im are b'china of a man on this world, in a suit, shoes, physical, boots of a dom. And there's a concept of b'china medaberes mitzach groinoi. That means that the Rebbein Shloim Kaviyuchel is speaking from the throat of the tzaddik. If you can see that there is a concept of elokus in a world like this, it's the Chzavurim Kal Bochoymehem. Ma doch with physical constraints, and the Chimri is Haguf, a person can still see. V'isalachti b'soyrechem, v'nusati mishkuni b'soyrechem. It's alachas kamo v'kamo v'akal v'choymer, that if a person is freed and divested of physicality entirely, he's soaring as an neshama above to become again mimal, he will certainly experience kirvas elikus. Therefore, the Torah doesn't have to spell it out any clearer. And an Emerson that this relates to us too, because every person has experienced certain moments of Kiva Silakis. If a person stands by Ni'ila and Yom Kudish and Yom Kippur, and at the last moment he shouts Hashem Hiyu Elokim 7 times as the Rebbein Shloim is the God by Ni'ila, or moments before Tkiyas Shofar when he feels the Sifre Chayim Amaisim Pesichim Lefunov, and he feels the Emes Hadin. And even if a person sits by a Shabbos dish, and if he's eating fish and soup and all the things, the delicacies of the meal, that he's saying, "May Ayn Oylam Habu Yoim Shabbos Manicho," that there is a Zahamisig where the Rebbein Shloim gives you a tam of Getlichkeit, of spirituality in this world, similar to what we said before about the concept of Nasir. So you can see that within those realms, if you can still feel a Lekut, when a person is divested of those physicalities and the shackles of his body are removed from him, how much more so he'll be attached to the Rebbein Shloim. Kotzke Rebbe, just before he was nifter, so he was on his last moments, and then in the adjoining room, the chassidim and the family were weeping, they were crying, because they felt that the moments were imminent before he was going to leave this world. He heard the crying, he listened, and he said, "Wo ist weint man? Why are they crying? Wo ist es schlecht auf?" Because the vision of the Ish Emes saw the truth, that the step onto the next world is a Hamid Shita, that it's only a better place. Before we go to the last answer, which is the Seiko Ikrim, the final one, at this point, we should say that Rasha Kudish takes a completely different stand. And Rasha says that the Torah does refer to the night. And he says, Push Pshat in the Pusik, Vihsalachti Besoyrechem, Zit Rasha, Atayel Imchem Organai. Pshita Kemashma. So you can see, in fact, this is the opinion of the Sepolon as well. He brings it down in Pasha Tisloi by Ba'atim Amlechas Koinim Vagoi Kudosh, that in the word Kudosh is Mitaik, that the word that Ganaiden is prevalent and mentioned in the Torah clearly, and this is the opinion of Rashi. The God Eisner, who was the Mashkiach of Yeshiva Chedesh Harim, they asked him about during one of his shmizen, he said, "You will wissen, was this is Ganaiden?" I'll tell you. In Ganaiden, do a tish, do a benki, a stender, and a cipher. There's a table and a chair and a stender and a gemura and a cipher. No coffee and no WC. You don't have to go out because you're in Ganaiden. Just learn. So they asked him, "Oy bazoi, who's his Gehenna?" So he says, "Gehenna is the same thing." The last answer was given by the Sefer Ikrim. Because the Torah addresses the klal and is given unilaterally to all, so the bruchas which the Rebbeinu Shloim gave were in fact to the nation. They were given to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Now, if we're speaking about Gan Eden, how could the Torah possibly talk and explain something as individualized, as personalized, and as tailored as Gan Eden? We say now it's the time of Pirek, we say every single Shabbat, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chaylek Bo'olam Mabu. That means that every single Yid has his individual portion in Olam Mabu, customized portion. Kashmir can only be experienced on one level. You go into a kiddush from Nachman Reich, a nice one. You go in there, everybody having the same shoes and the same kikil. They might say the kishki is delicious, but the matzah, they're all having the same thing and they're all tasting the same thing. Can be a better shulam or a shvachach shulam, but the matzah, everybody's having the same thing. But the havdol with rochnis, the Torah speaks about olam habu. It's in a million different facets. There's so many variations. Every single person can only get what is achieved in this world, and that depth will be experienced in the world to come. Shvius is coming closer. We mirror the same idea in Akdumet. Okay. The Pai says there, Lefime da'avidatai avidon le'talauta, which loosely translates as each. For each, according to his toil, receives a shelter in the world to come. Every person, according to the investment and what is achieved in this world, that's the sikkur, that's the shelter which he's got himself, the little booth which is going to sit up in Olam Haba. The Medrash HaMagid said, since we spoke about the name of personal and Gashmis, he says, in this week said, Revo Oilech Eschem Koimamiyas. Which means the Rebbeinu Shloim will walk with you upright, with an erect posture. So, says the Maggid, an animal's head is forever towards the ground. He walks, eats grass, and is drawn towards the ground. He's drawn towards altius, and he's drawn towards food, because ultimately that's where he spends most of his time, cop licked in the cover in the trough. Man's head is upright. It's towards the skies, because he aspires towards the heavens. So the Heilige Maggid, Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shloim will accompany you when? You'll be like a person, and your head will be upright, and you'll aspire upwards towards the skies. Then the Rebbeinu Shloim will be with you. The Shirim used to say, he used to say, sometimes a person does mitzvahs in this world, he thinks, wow, I really hit the jackpot with this one. I did it so nicely, I must have bought myself the most fabulous place up there in the world to come. And then, sometimes he does something casually, but he does it in purity, and he does it without negiyus. He comes up there after 120 years, and the things that he thought were, wow, is absolutely zero consequence, and the other things which he did and he took no notice of, and it was an amazing accomplishment, Vanachni Leonida, what Moshe Rabbeinu said five times, Vanachni Leonida, we won't know, Ma'an Avedas Hashem, how we serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, Advoyayin Shumur, so we'll come to the other side of the fence, then suddenly we'll have surprises about the type of mitzvahs and how we perform. If I can conclude, just coming towards Lag B'Omer, end of this week, there's something which I was zeichet to hear myself from the Nesivas Shulam, from the Slonim Rebbe. He touched the Mishnah and he said, Umar Rab Kiva, Hashreicha Mitzvah, Liftem mi atem etarem mi metar esrem, Avichem Shebashmai. So he said that Lemushul Lemu Adur Adoyma, you have a person who is in need of an operation. The surgeon is going to operate him. Surgeon never met him, patient never met the doctor. He comes to him on the operating table after having checked him too briefly. He becomes a medical statistic, and when he puts the incision into him, he's nothing more than a piece of meat on the butcher's table. And by the time he's finished, he goes for after sales service for 10 minutes and he comes back to check what he's done. It's also a lot. That's the way of the world, because by the end of the week there'll have been another 10 people on the stage. But what happens, Chas v'Shulam, if the surgeon is a father and the patient is a child and he's operating on his own child? Then you can be sure that that operation will be performed with the utmost love and affection, and the anesthesia will be made so that he's most comfortable and he doesn't feel anything. And the tears that are shed by the surgeon during the operation, if he does it himself or he does it to somebody else, he'll make sure that it's not clapping and that his child, Chas v'Shulam, should not suffer any more minimal discomfort than is necessary. So when the Chas v'Shulam said, he says, Ashreichem Yisroel, lifnei mi atem etarem. Sometimes the purification of Klal Yisroel is a painful one. Hundreds of years where you've seen Klal Yisroel mitgemacht schweres Mannen. Aber lifnei mi atem etarem. Who is performing the purification process? Who is operating? Avichem shebashmaim siddach astate. May Rebbein Shmur b'shmish zoiche. Yitalachti b'soichechem. To feel and experience the Shechina, the Tahareini, the Kachaini, Pikishotku, Hu Elyoinu, Umay.